The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
You're listening to Believe You Me with Michael the Count Bisbing.
You know my name yet?
And Anthony Lionheart Smith.
These streaming services are so wildly underwater. Like, I was just reading the Tyler Perry is trying to buy BET from Paramount Network, but a $3 billion sale of just that property won't even lower their debt.
Harrington, choose your words more carefully.
What?
The streaming services are underwater.
Oh.
They're underwater. What are you poking fun? My God. Look, listen, we've got to talk about this. It's the biggest story on planet Earth right now. This submarine at the bottom of the ocean that went to go down to the Titanic. I mean, it's so sad. And by all accounts, as we sit and record this right now, they have run out of oxygen, apparently. And I mean, where do you start with this? I mean, so a group of, shall we say, tourists, rich businessmen, they go down to visit the Titanic wreck. I just don't get that. I understand the obsession with the Titanic. You know what I mean? It's a big story. There's a lot of history there. Number one, it's kind of a graveyard, you know, so just let it be in peace. But going down to the bottom of the ocean, I mean, that's dangerous as it is. But then they've gone down in this subpar submarine that apparently wasn't fit to go down that deep, right? They're controlling it with a PlayStation controller. One of the guests was like, no, I've looked into this. I'm abandoning ship, pardon the phrase. So he didn't go down. Then they've gone down. Now they've lost contact. The world's been following very closely. They've run out of oxygen.
I know there was yesterday they were saying that there was some hope because they were hearing like banging sounds from the area of it. But
intermittently every 30 minutes. Which, again, I thought, well, if I was in that submarine and they were banging, why would you do it every 30 minutes? Maybe every 5, maybe every 10, every 30? I was like, is that them? Every 30 minutes? But I just wanted to talk about this. Imagine, I mean, it's so sad. It's so, there's a father and son on there. There's an English business billionaire and he brought his son down there. Listen, I get it. 18 years old. They thought they were going to do something really cool. And I was thinking about this last night and my mind was blown and it's heartbreaking to think about. Imagine you go down there, you know, Aura, say you're with Aura when she's older, right? The Believe in Me podcast takes off. Harrington becomes a multi-billionaire. Do you know what I mean? Harrington's got the Joe Rogan money. No, and you take Aura down there. She's 18 years old. Or I take Callum and Lucas. Or anyone listening to this takes your children. You think we're going to have an amazing experience. And you go down there. You lose communication. It's not responding. Whatever it is, it's trapped in a propeller or whatever the theory is. And you're slowly dying. And you know that oxygen is running out. And you're sitting there and you've got your child and you're like, I'm so sorry. This was all my idea. I got us into this mess thinking we're going to have a great time. And we are slowly suffocating, knowing that the clock is ticking down. Do you know what I mean? I mean, because you would try and control your breathing. Let's use less oxygen. But you're going to have panic attacks. You're going to start freaking out. You're going to start crying. You're going to start hyperventilating. And when you're hyperventilating, the other people in there are probably going, whoa, control your breathing for crying out loud. You know what I mean? Because you're going to use more oxygen. I mean, just what a desperate, desperate situation.
Yeah, it's up there with one of the most horrifying ways to die, for sure. I actually watched an interview with the CEO of the company, and he was talking about exactly this situation. And he said, yeah, like, you know, we put 5 days worth of food and water and oxygen in there as a precaution. But realistically, that's just to make people feel better, right? He's at the end of the day, what's gonna kill us isn't any of that. It's the temperature, right?
The cold.
It's 33 degrees down there or something along those lines. And he was saying that just being at that that extremely cold temperature for that long, you'll end up dying of like hypothermia.
And the space as well. I mean, I'm kind of claustrophobic. I wouldn't say I'm like, you know, as they call legit claustrophobic, but I don't like being in tiny, small confined spaces. I don't think anyone does, but they're all kind of crammed. Like, because they were only meant to be down there a few hours. Go down, I think 6 hours in total, something like that. Go down there, have a little mooch about, see the Titanic, take some pictures, have a great experience, come up, submerge, and wow, wasn't that awesome, right? But you're all cramped up, you can't stand, you can't even sit up straight, it's freezing cold. Jeez, oh my God. You never know. As I sit here, maybe there's some kind of miracle. I mean, there's a couple, but they're all very wealthy people. So I would say, more than likely, they're all pretty smart people. You know what I mean? You never know. There might be some bloody genius down there that's figured out some way to restrict the oxygen or maybe make it last longer. I don't know how they're going to do that, but that's my only thought, my hope. I mean, what a way to go. It's just bloody awful. Everyone's obsession with the ocean needs to stop, man. The ocean's fucking dangerous. Simple as that. It's fucking dangerous.
It's so scary. I mean, I don't know. There is like a certain amount of, like, it's very scary. Like, Alex kind of put it into perspective for me last night, saying exactly that same thing. Could you imagine taking Aura on this thing and you have to look at her and be like, I'm so sorry that my decision. But at the same time, that 18-year-old got to look at that craft, got to look at the fact that there's a GameCube controller that stands between them and certain death, and made the decision, I'm going to trust this. Like, this
18 years old, you believe in your father. You trust your dad, especially when he's a wealthy guy. He said, everything's going to be good. And that guy, you know, I mean, never mind, you know, the child, but the father, the dread, the regret, the sadness, the people, the family members. I saw Charlie Arnold yesterday, you know, Charlie that works for the UFC. Okay. Who's like the behind the stage reporting stuff. She works on Fox News now, actually, as well. Lovely girl, by the way. She reported a story that the guy's, this British billionaire, the guy's stepson, went to, day it was reported that they'd lost communication, that he went to a Blink 182 concert. And he's like, well, Blink 182 is my favorite band, you know, and I'm pretty sure my dad would want me to go check it out. And she was like, you know, her take was that this wasn't very, she said, I hope that if he does make it out alive, he writes him out of the will. Completely.
Yeah, that guy's handle actually is SoundGuy182 on Twitter. So, I mean, confirmed, he is a massive Blink 182 fan. But this guy is making the most of the moment. He is he's shouting out to OnlyFans girls. He's letting people know on Twitter that he's single. Like, I don't think this guy, I'm just going to go on a limb, he probably didn't have the best relationship with his billionaire stepdad, and this might be the best thing that's ever happened to him.
Well, it might be, but, you know, listen, I'm going to give you a bit of advice out there to any stepchildren, unless you're a ginger stepchild. It's over. But if your dad's a billionaire, right, if your stepdad is a billionaire, it is in your best interest to just go along, be a good boy, make your bed. Yes, sir. No, sir. All right. Yeah, all right. All jokes aside, I'm a bit proud to tell the man to go fuck himself. But if we're joking around, you want to be in that will. You want to be a part of that billionaire will. So, yes, daddy, you're well. Anyway, it's a tragic, sad, sad story. If the oxygen has run out, more and more people are going to go down there. They're gonna find it eventually. There's robots deployed. They're down there. It's bloody awful. Anyway. So tragic. MMA, let's get into it. So we got big fights this week. Is it this weekend, Ilia Topuria and Josh Emmett?
That is this week. That's UFC Jackson. Well,
we'll talk about that later. I guess the big story is regarding Conor McGregor and not the accusations that happened last week, but he's out of the testing pool now. He's out of the testing pool. Sorry, not pardon me. He's not out of the testing pool. The time has expired for him to get back into the testing pool to make the deadline of the last pay-per-view of the year. I believe it's December 16th at the T-Mobile Arena. I don't know if that necessarily means that the fight's dead in the water yet. I think there is maybe some maybe special circumstances, but according to the six-month rule, if we're following that to the letter, then yeah, that's done. that's over. Who knows? Maybe they delay it. Maybe they do it in January. You know, what do you think, Hamilton?
Well, I mean, if they do it in January, that means that the clock is already ticking for McGregor to jump back in, you know, by
well,
next
yeah.
month.
Well, and yeah, we like, know that. Yeah, and then, you know, if they do it the month after, it's ticking for that one as well.
But
it's
there's no urgency.
Just like the submarine, the clock is ticking, okay? Time is always moving on. We know that. You don't need to point that out, Harrington. Come on, bro.
I just look. I mean, other than him, you know, having a boxing spar with Dylan Danis at some crappy gym in the Lower East Side here, there's nothing that's indicating to me that Conor McGregor is like, you know, is switching that gear to like, you know, to put himself back into like, you know, any kind of a training camp or any kind of a killer mode, like. You know, yeah, like I said, I just don't see that urgency for McGregor to get back into the testing pool.
I saw a little, I didn't see, is there a video of him and Dylan Danis?
I think it was just pictures. Let me check.
Ah, right. Yeah. No, I saw a report. I didn't click on it or anything. But I mean, look, listen, the man's got a lot going on right now. He's got a lot of distraction, shall we say. He's always distracted. Of course he is, because of his lifestyle and who he is and the success that he's had. But obviously with this thing in the Miami Heat. And by the way, now she's coming out. I saw that... she said she was offered $100,000 by the Miami Heat security to stay quiet. Also sounds a bit weird. Like the security guards have the authority. All right, listen, we'll give you $100,000. Okay. Do you know what I mean? Well, it just doesn't add up. But we talked about that. We're going to go back to the fight. What did Michael Chandler say? I mean, I know he was like, where the fuck is that guy? Who the fuck is that guy? You got the exact quote from him, though, what he said?
Actually, Brian, if you want to bring up, I think he posted a video on Twitter that shows it. Because if I'm not mistaken, on the day that the McGregor thing expired, USADA actually showed up to Michael Chandler's house. And he's like, wait a minute. Wait, no. What's going on here?
Hold on, just before you play. I thought that was a joke. He said, the only way, what are you going to do to add insult to injury? If they show up at my house.
Okay, maybe I mistook the way that.
Well, play the video. Play the video, Brian. Let's see what I'm doing. See who's right or wrong. I'm on the edge of my seat here.
All right, guys. You guys have all seen the news. Conor's not in USADA. 179 days left until December 16th, which is supposed to be the last pay-per-view of the year. And comically, USADA shows up at my door today.
Oh, they did. You were right. You were right. My bad.
All right, guys.
So they did show up at his house. My bad. I mean, that. Oh, sorry. I read it wrong. So that does add insult to injury. They show up at his house. You can't write it. That's comical genius. I mean, you would think, listen, whoever's the USADA appointment maker, secretary to the USADA, you might say. You think they might be like, look, listen, don't go today. Today's the deadline. You know what I mean? We've been testing Iron Mike Chandler day in, day out. He's clean as a whistle. Do you know what I mean? Don't do it today. Maybe track down McGregor and see what's going on. Oh, dear. You know, Chandler's the big loser in this one. Simple as that, he really is. The reality is the sport of mixed martial arts continues to move on. And it even will continue to move on. And there will be other stars, big stars. Don't know if we'll ever see another McGregor again. You know, I'm not sure if they will, but the sport always continues to move on. But that was going to be, regardless, a massive payday for Michael Chandler and for the fans, for the public, because Chandler's always fantastic, entertaining as hell, every single fight, win or lose. I mean, those fights against Gaethje and Poirier, classics, Dan Hooker, that was awesome whilst it lasted. The fight with Charles Oliveira, sensational. Him versus McGregor would have been a brilliant matchup. You know, McGregor doesn't lose out. McGregor's not arsed. You know, he's probably, who knows? I could see a world where he probably never fights again. I know he loves fighting. He loves to talk about it. He loves to actually take part in fights. But the reality is, with the money that he's made, the lifestyle that he's got, it's just not conducive. You know, I don't even want to hear about silk sheets when you're rolling around in silk yachts. Do you know what I mean? You know, and you're getting all these kind of accusations and whatnot. It's fucking hard, man. It's just hard.
Yeah. But I mean, you did mention Michael Chandler, great fights with Dustin Poirier, great fight with Justin Gaethje. You know who else had great fights with Dustin Poirier, great fights with Dustin Gaethje, and a couple great fights with Michael Chandler?
Yeah, Eddie Alvarez. I mean, he's trying to He says, I'm clean as a whistle. Also, the only thing I'll test positive, what was it, protein shakes or some shit like that. He said, Dana White, you got my number. I mean, that'd be great. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see Eddie Alvarez back in the UFC. But it ain't Conor McGregor, is it? So, yeah, it's a shame. It really is a shame. All right, believers, let's talk about Seed and their awesome product, the DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. DSO1 was developed for systemic benefits beyond digestive health, the first in the pipeline of a clinically studied next-generation product. It's a daily probiotic and a prebiotic. Now, that is fantastic for your gut health. One of the areas that gets overlooked and not focused on, but it, believe it or not, and I don't know the science behind it, but I've read many, many reports. Gut health is so important to a long and healthy life. Now, what is in Seed's DSO1? Well, it's a 24-strain, broad spectrum probiotic and prebiotic formulated for digestive, gut, immune, and additional systemic benefits from the viability of 33.6 billion probiotic bacteria. Good bacteria, okay? It's very planet conscious, okay? The two-in-one it's via a cap delivery technology, protects against stomach acid, digestion enzymes, bile salts for viability through digestion. What does that mean? Well, it means that you're going to be healthy. Your gut intestine, your small intestine, your big intestine, your colon, they're going to thank you for it, and you're going to be healthy, you're going to feel better. Sustainably delivered, as I said, each component of the refill system is designed to protect your DSO1 daily symbiotic and be gentler on the earth. Your shipping box is constructed from ecological paper made from algae. Your bio-based tray is made from renewable ingredients such as starch, natural fibers, and water, and produced energy efficiently. There we go. It's fully recyclable as well. So right now, okay, take care of your gut health. Often gets overlooked. Some men don't even think about it. Have a quick Google search. Gut health is so important. Prebiotic, probiotic. Get them in your system. Get them in your gut. And get 25% off your first month of Seed DSO1 Daily Symbiotic by using the code BELIEVE at checkout. Go to www.seed.com. Once again, seed.com. Use the promo code BELIEVE when you go to seed.com for 25% off your first month's supply. Now, Harrington, I'll throw it to you. What's the next biggest story? Do you know what? Let's talk about this. I'm not going to throw it to you. Let's talk about this. Number one is the Michael Chandler, Conor McGregor thing. Number two, Tyson Fury says there's no chance in hell of getting in an octagon with Jon Jones. And number three, though, Kelvin Gastelum said that he would welcome up a matchup with Shavkat Rachmanov in his return to the 170-pound division. It's a ballsy man.
Absolutely. I mean, he said that, like, because Shavkat said this a few weeks ago, and it kind of just, you know, it fell on deaf ears pretty much. Gastelum said he was on vacation, so he didn't have a chance to respond to it, but he likes it, and he thinks he's a nightmare matchup for Shavkat.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. Shavkat is a nightmare matchup for anyone. I think he's 16-0, all finishes, 16 or 17, whatever it is. He's undefeated and they're all finishes. But here's what Gastelum said, for those that haven't saw it. He said, these are the kind of fights that I want in the welterweight division. This puts me right in the mix, swimming with the sharks. It's either sink or swim. I like this fight. I think he's ranked 5 or 6. Harrington, just look up how many losses Gastelum's had recently whilst I read this out. But he said that this puts me right up there. I want fun fights. Given I win this, which I will, I accept. Shavkat Rachmanov, your challenge at 170 pounds. And not only that, I'll give you a day. Dana White was talking about doing a huge Mexican Independence Day in Las Vegas, which happens to be September 16th on the dot. And me being an outstanding Mexican-American, I would gladly represent where my people have come from and where we're going. September 16th at the T-Mobile Arena, which, wherever it may be, as your man in Kazakhstan, Gennady Golovkin, would say, big drama show, let's get it on. I accept. Shavkat, I accept your challenge. Now, tell me, Harrington. See, this is not Khabib. This is a little more high pitch, okay? Brother, this is number one bullshit. That is Khabib. But this is big drama show. How many losses? And now it's turning into Borat. My wife, how many losses has Gastelum had recently?
5 losses in his last 7 fights.
Right.
All at middleweight.
Yeah, who was the competition? It was all top dogs, Jared Cannonier.
Israel Adesanya, Darren Till, Jack Hermanson, and Robert Whittaker.
Yeah. I mean, all top tier competition. You know, he's going down to welterweight. He struggled at welterweight. He struggled to make weight. That's why he moved up. You know, Gastelum's a great fighter. He's had some amazing performances. Gave me my last loss. You know what I mean? So he's awesome, but I'm not sure if that's the right answer. I think people going up is the answer, not going down, but go on.
4-5. I'm sorry. I'm just doing the math here. I think he went 7-2 in the UFC at welterweight. And, you know, remember, he joined the UFC when he was like 19 years old off of the Ultimate Fighter. So I can understand a young man having an issue making weight and having the discipline and everything. But like, if you're now looking at it 30 years old, you've been in the company for a decade at this point, and you see this as like, okay, this is my actual run. I'm actually hitting my prime. I have my best performances in the UFC happened at 170 pounds. I need to be disciplined enough to get down to that weight and consistently make 170. I think that's something that a much more mature, older Kelvin Gastelum can do.
Yeah, but the problem is the body starts to slow down, the metabolism starts to slow down. You've got a propensity to put on weight easier, the wear and tear on the body. You don't want to get out of bed. You're not a sprightly young spring chicken anymore. That's why, as people's careers go on, I understand what you're saying. As you get older, maybe you control your emotions better, and certainly you do. And maybe you have a better job of getting a handle on your training regime and having better discipline, without question. But there's certain physiological things that happen inside your body that make that harder. That's why generally as people go on, they go up the weight ladder. They don't go down. Now, maybe there's some people in the completely wrong weight class that need to readjust things and go down. But generally, if they're doing it correctly the whole way, and he struggled to make weight back in the day when he was young, when he was slimmer, when he was riding high on success, when he had all the motivation in the world. I'm not ripping on Kelvin Gastelum. I'm just saying, I don't know if that's the right answer. What are you laughing at?
Well, he was also like he had a win turned into a no contest because of marijuana back then, if you remember. Yeah, right. Like this is a guy who might have been partying a little hard in his early 20s, and God bless him. I just think there's a certain level of discipline that comes with becoming an older man that you know, that could help.
Yeah, no, of course, we just went through that. Well, I guess only time will tell. That's the conversation we just had. Are you literally repeating yourself?
I'm just saying, I can understand you're smoking some weed, you're eating some ice cream. It's like, all right, let's put that to bed for a few years, win a title, and then go back to it in my 40s.
Yeah, well, didn't happen. We'll see what happens with Kelvin. I wish him the best of luck. And hopefully, I hope he proves me wrong. But, you know, when you're cutting weight, I say it all the time, it affects your ability to take a shot. It affects your stamina if you're in 5-round fights. But I respect his balls, man. Calling out Shavkat Rakhmonov, accepting a fight and saying, let's do that. I mean, that he's absolutely right. With great risk, great reward. Beats him. He's certainly in the conversation. But it's a tough one. It is a very, very tricky one. So we'll do a little bit of non-MMA real quickly. What have we got? What do we reckon? I mean, it's been a kind of let's talk about this. I was the bloody Ohio father.
Oh, my God.
Lining up his three children and shooting them dead, execution style. I'm like, we can't talk about that. Let's go to something fun because we just did the whole bloody submarine thing. But now I guess I've mentioned it. I mean, what are the details on that? I haven't seen it, but what the bloody hell?
There's I have not found any kind of like a motivation or what was going on there, but so he's in court right now. So a lot of the depositions are being let out. The body cam footage was actually released showing the police arresting him. But apparently, he made this decision and lined up his son's execution style with a rifle, fired at all of them. One of the kids tried to get away. And the article I read said that he hunted them, the kid down, brought him back to the house and then shot him. His wife also received a bullet through the hand trying to protect her children. And I mean, it's a very scary sight. If you want to bring it up, Brian, just him.
No, don't show it. Okay. I don't want to see it.
It's just him sitting on his stoop with the cops coming to get him. Like, could you? He just killed three of his kids, and he's sitting there on the stoop, just waiting for the police, chilling, not resisting arrest. It's mental.
And he's clearly mentally ill. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Listen, kids can drive you up the goddamn wall. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, sometimes they drive you batshit crazy. You know, they don't do as they're told. They're bloody, you know, they're not doing what you want them to do. They're not performing well. Whatever it is, right? Kids can be the biggest. Well, they are. They always continue to give you the biggest joy. I'm so proud. I mean, my life would not be what it is today without my children. You know, and they made me the man I am today. You know, but there's some people that don't have great relationships and things don't go well and all the rest of it. But it doesn't matter, you know, to go out there and do that. This man clearly has something. He's not wired up correctly. So, and listen, you know, people like that, death penalty all day long. Sorry, I said it. I don't care. Blow his brains out. Have it over and done with. The man's clearly mentally ill. He doesn't need rehabilitating. The poor wife, she's the real victim here. The children, I mean, of course, they don't know anything about it. The wife has to live with that. My God. Anyway. Jeez. Mark Zuckerberg versus Elon Musk. That's what I wanted to get into. I just saw it. This is brilliant. So Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, apparently going to fight in an octagon. Send location is what Zuckerberg said. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously Mark Zuckerberg is winning jiu-jitsu tournaments these days. He's looking all right, to be fair, doing a little bit of training. Something was going on and Elon said, yeah, I'll happily fight him in a cage. So then Zuckerberg says, send location. And he says, I'm up for a cage match if he is. Lol. Oh, brilliant. What's it say there? I heard he goes to jiu-jitsu now. Okay, anyway, it's just small on my computer screen. I can't see it. Anyway, look, listen, here's the thing. To the richest, most powerful, clearly geniuses, do you know what I mean? They want to fight inside an octagon. What does that tell you, Harrington? What does that tell you?
That we will have a star in MMA bigger than Conor McGregor?
No, what it tells you is that it doesn't matter, does it? It tells you that is the strength of what being a fighter is all about. Because even though they're joking, but let's just imagine for a second they're not joking, but there's a lot of people out there, they want that. They want to fight. You know, they crave that. Look at the modern society these days. Everybody wants to be a fighter, okay? Everybody wants, because like Jake Paul, perfect example. He's got tons of money. He doesn't need to do this, right? Yeah, he wants to challenge himself. Yeah, it's good for you. Doing martial arts is great. Boxing, Thai boxing, jiu-jitsu, whatever form you want to call it. It's going to give you great benefits, discipline. It's going to give you confidence to be able to defend yourself, but also in social environments. You know, it's great for children to do, but these guys are fighting and they're not doing it for money. People fight and they put themselves at risk of mental, health risks, you know, regardless. In boxing, people die. Mixed martial arts is very dangerous. You can blow out your knees in training. I lost an eye. We don't need to go through it all. They choose to do it though, him, a lot of other people that have money, because they want that. They want to feel like a badass. They want to feel like an alpha male. They want to dominate another man and they want the world to know that they can do it. Do you know what I mean? And that is the allure. That is what it's all about. Being an alpha male, going out there and showing, listen, I'm the top dog. Do you know what I mean? Because nothing beats that feeling like getting your hand raised. We're never going to see Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg throw down inside an octagon. But if they do, I'm fucking commentating. I would love to.
Oh, dude, that sounds awesome. Yeah, I feel like I feel like it is baked into us, right? Like as a people, like going back to like the dawn of time, right? Like man has always been in conflict with the environment and in conflict with nature. Like young men used to, you know, always, no matter what, like you go to battle. You know, like, yeah. So I feel like that's hardwired into us for hundreds and hundreds of years. And now in this modern society where that's not really prevalent, like that warrior mentality is like, you know, there's an itch that needs to be scratched there. So good on these guys for diving in.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So one thing, what you just said there, and Michael Jai White, you know, the martial arts actor, he put it far more eloquently than I ever could. And it's on my documentary. If no one's seen that, go check it out, because it's not just about me and my fight career. Predominantly it is, but there's a section in there where it talks about the psyche of fighters, and it's done very well by Vin Diesel's on there, Michael Jai White's on there, Rogan's on there. And there's some very, very profound words Notice I'm not talking about those bits. The profound words did not come from me. No, but Michael Jai White was saying, because he did a movie as Mike Tyson. And he said everyone always wanted to hear the Mike Tyson stories about him and all the rest of it. And then he said, if you're in a restaurant and you're sitting in there and you're with a governor, a big-time politician, you're with an actor, you're with a musician, whatever, and then Mike Tyson walks in the room, everyone turns and looks at Mike Tyson when he was in his prime, because he is the alpha male in that room. He was the baddest man on the planet, and that is something that all men desire. And there might be men sitting here and listening to this going, well, you're wrong. Well, you're fucking wrong, because you do. You just don't recognize it yet. To be able to dominate another man, any man on the planet, do you know what I mean, is a very, very special gift and a tool to have. And Michael Jai White goes on to say, bless those that don't make it their only identity in life. You know what I mean? And that's the true part. It's like Jordan Peterson always says, he talks about, you want to be a, forget the exact words now, I haven't heard it for a while. I saw videos like, you want to be a vicious man, or you want to be a menace or something like that. I forget the exact
word. You want to be a monster.
You want to be a monster. There it is. Go on, Brian. he said, you want to be a monster, but then you don't want to be a tyrannical monster, but you want to be capable of that, because a man that's just going along with things because of the sake of, because they've got no option. Well, that's not impressive. But a man that can, you know what I mean, but chooses not to, and chooses to be sound and to be reasonable and all the rest of it, but can be a protector at the same time. And that's what we're looking for. Okay. Boys and girls, girls and boys. Brian, how are you, buddy? Jump on the show.
Oh, I'm good, Mike. I'm just scrolling through some questions we got for later.
No, oh, good. Well, you guys have questions for later. Don't do your thing, Hamilton, right here. Send them into bympod@gmail.com and we will answer them shortly. All right, this episode is sponsored by RexMD. Fellas, do you sometimes lack confidence in the bedroom? Look, we've all had those nights. Doesn't make you a bad person, but maybe you're too nervous. But there's nothing worse than not being able to put the stick shift in drive when you need it most. But have no fear. RexMD is here spreading cheer, even when you've had too many beers. That is correct. RexMD, look, it's an FDA-approved and the most trusted leader in men's telehealth. They have sponsored this episode, so you are always prepared. RexMD has made it simple, easy, and cost-effective to help out all men, help them last longer, feel more confident in the bedroom. RexMD makes generic and branded Viagra Cialis easy. Right, getting everything's easy. It's online, even the prescription. They deliver it discreetly to your door. There's no waiting rooms, no embarrassing trips to your doctors, no insurance, and no co-pays. And the way it works out, it's going to cost you just $2 per dosage, okay? What more do you want? Deliver to your door. No one needs to know, not even your significant other. The missus doesn't need to know a damn thing, okay? You just lie. You don't say what it is when the box shows up. Say it was something from Amazon. Say it was some ink, an ink cartridge for the printer. But little do you know, it's the RexMD goodies. You are going to be going full bore, okay? You're going to be rocking worlds all over the place, and no one needs to know. As I said, it's generic Viagra and Cialis. That could cost $90 a pill. With RexMD, it's going to cost you just $2 per pill. And unlike other brands, RexMD is FDA approved and it's clinically tested. You will be getting FDA approved ED treatments at 90% cheaper rate than the doctors. It's fast, simple, and cheap. So you're going to check it out. Go to the website, rexmd.com/Bisping. This exclusive deal will save you 90% off, where you'll only pay one more time, $2 per dosage. Starter packs of generic Viagra or Cialis are now available for our listeners when you go to rexmd.com/Bisping for up to 90% off. Give the gift of pleasure. Hamilton, give us a story, man. What's on the tip of your tongue?
Okay, let's see here. Do you want to talk about this? ESPN's Fighter of the Year nominations?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sure.
Thought there was some interesting omissions here. So they have their ESPY awards, right? They're it's like the Oscars for sports coming up. They do it baseball's All-Star Week, when there's absolutely no American sports on, the one day a year. That's when they do the ESPYs. So the Fighter of the Year candidates are Jon Jones, Islam Makhachev, Leon Edwards, Makhachev. Sorry.
I get it wrong all the time.
Leon Edwards and Amanda Nunes.
Right. Right. I mean, they're good choices, but so this is for last year, right?
Yes, it's well, I guess it's like the World MMA Awards, where it's like July to July or something.
Oh, I see. Okay. Because I was going to say John Jones didn't fight last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So John Jones returns back after a layoff, and we know all about his resume. Don't need to go into that. Defeats Cyril Gahn, becomes the heavyweight champ. Leon Edwards, if we're talking July to July, he beat Kamaru Usman twice, once by knockout, backed it up with a sound decision. Amanda Nunes, what, got rebounced against Juliana Pena, and then beat, who did she just beat? Irene Aldana. And who was the other one? Islam,
yes.
So Volkanovski, and who else was there in there?
Charles
and Volkanovski. Who do you give it to? What's your pick?
I mean, the best resume there is probably the beating Charles Oliveira and Alexander Volkanovski.
Correct. But I'm going to say, and I hope he gets it. I hope Leon Edwards, I hope he gets it, because that would be incredible for him. Listen, Islam, you know, yeah, without question. But knocking out Kamaru Usman like that, nobody saw that coming.
Nope.
Nobody saw that coming. And then to beat him again in the rematch, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people might have thought, well, in that first, well, the second fight, he was dominating him and he got caught. So in the fight after, he's going to mollywop him again. Take him down, control him. Didn't happen at all, you know? And then when you look at the resume that he had before that, being undefeated for so long. So I think I'd give mine to either Islam or Leon Edwards. But go on, what are you laughing at?
Just that, like, I forgot how crazy that was. He was in his home country. He had just beaten the guy, and he was the underdog going into that fight, which is just like seeing how that fight played out and how Leon really did dominate Kamaru there. It's just mind blowing to me.
Yeah, it's mind blowing that John Jones is there as well, to be honest. You know what I mean? Not that he doesn't deserve recognition, accolades. He gets all of that anyway, but to come back and have one win.
But that one win for the heavyweight title versus, like, the only other person I feel like there was a couple of omissions in there. I think Israel Adesanya, who had a loss in the last year, and Alexander Volkanovski, who had a decision loss in the last year. Those were my two omissions. Jones is perfect compared to them. But
in that time frame for Israel Adesanya, how many wins and losses are we talking? Because I'd say Israel Adesanya, because you not only defined of your losses and your victories, but it's the story and what he did. So I'd say Israel Adesanya to get stopped, to get knocked out, but then to fight him again straight away when he didn't have to. That is the fighter of the year, in my opinion. That's the fighter. That's the definition of a fighter. That's someone that says, you know what? I've done it. I've made money. I was the champion of the world. I was a dominant champ. He's probably got $30, $40 million sitting in his bank account. He's been busy as hell. He could go travel the world. He could take some time off. He could let Alex Pereira fight it out with other people and then come back after a while. But no, the fighter in him said, I want to be the one to beat him. I believe in myself. I know I can do it. And he was at a massive, imagine if he lost that. Imagine if he lost it again. You know what I'm saying? That took balls. It took courage, fighting spirit. To me, Israel Adesanya was the fighter of the year. But what were the wins and losses in that time frame?
So I'm not sure exactly when their start date is, but he beat Jared Cannonier on July 2nd of last year. Had the loss to Pereira in November, and then beat him in April.
Israel Adesanya, all day long. No one's story comes even close. Listen, Cyril Gahn's a great fighter. Stylistically, it was a good matchup for John Jones. Islam, okay. I mean, listen, Islam's incredible. You know, deserves to be there. But I just, given the storyline, come on, it's Islam Makhachev all day long. Speaking of Islam, he's kind of annoyed that Beneil Dariush, he says that flips the entire lightweight division. Harrington, do you want to give us the quote, please?
Yeah, he said, I was rooting for Dariush. I thought that would be a new challenge for me. Dariush had 8 wins in a row. I don't know. I can't say yet if my next fight will be a rematch against Charles. We'll have to wait. Now Justin and Dustin will fight. Then the UFC will decide.
Of course, I want a new name on my resume. It'll be better for me. If Oliveira will not fight me now, everyone will say I'm avoiding him. I never choose my opponents. I will fight anyone the UFC gives me. I don't think he can do anything. I'm not afraid of his grappling like the rest of the fighters. I can take him down anytime.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, just reading the text. I mean, I understand what he's saying, because Beneil Dariush was already pegged by Dana, apparently. You know, so in his mind, he probably thought he was going to get it done, and it's a fresh challenge. It's somebody new. You know, as a champion, you want to be out there. You want to be beating new people, adding names to the resume, cleaning out the division. He beat Volkanovski in a tremendous fight, close fight. You know, they're talking about a potential rematch down the line. Charles Oliveira would be a rematch. You know, rematches are mentally taxing. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you're all right, you know that you beat them. You know what I mean? But that's not guaranteed the next time. You know what I'm saying? So it's an interesting one. I still think Charles Oliveira, baby. The way that he beat Beneil Dariush, I think that puts Charles right there. Abu Dhabi, come on, all day long. And for Islam going into it, he should go into it confident, because he handled him very well last time out. You know, what do you think?
Well, I mean, yes, but there's also, you know, like he said, I feel like the Dustin and Justin fight is going to be like, we're going to be singing a whole different tune no matter who wins that fight. Cause I don't know who wins, but I guarantee you this, it's going to be a war. It's going to be exciting as hell. It's going to be must see TV that we're all going to be talking about on Monday. Like, oh my God, can you believe XYZ happened? And that is going to drive some momentum for that fight. So it is mentally taxing to figure out who gets that shot.
Yeah, no, for sure. But they both got beat by Charles. They both got beat by Charles kind of recently. You know what I mean? And then Charles was not beating him. The only thing is about Charles getting another rematch is that we did see it kind of recently. You know what I'm saying? So I guess that might make him jump the queue. I say throw Charles Oliveira in there with Michael Chandler again. If Conor McGregor can't make it in December, that's the logical matchup. Chandler and Charles, the rematch, baby.
And then you give the winner of the BMF Charles, Islam in Abu Dhabi.
Okay. Yeah. But the only problem is turning that round. They fight at the end of July, August, September. How badly do you want to be the champion, boys? That's the real question. Do you want to get back in there? The way them two fight, though, the BMFs, the Justins, Dustins, they're going to be fucked. Do you know what I mean? Nobody do. And that's why we love them. That's why we love watching them fight, because they throw down every time. They take a lot of damage. And them two are going to beat the crap out of each other for five rounds. You never know. There might be a finish, but it's going to be tough to finish either one of them the way that they fight, the will that they have, the heart that they have, et cetera, et cetera. So what else we got?
All right. Let's see here. Okay. You want to Eddie Hearn on Nate Diaz?
Yeah, I saw this. Brian, can you play this clip, please?
You know that it's going to be a mismatch against Jake Paul, don't you?
You're telling me this?
Yeah, and I know you love Nate Diaz. And I love it. Listen, I've only met him a couple of times. What a gent. But for it to be a mismatch against Jake Paul...
You think he's getting smoked?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Embarrassing. They just upped it to 10 rounds now.
It won't go four.
Really?
You know that...
Well, listen, you know it won't go four. Right, Jake Paul, right? Listen, it's going to be embarrassment, right? It won't go four, right? I don't know what he said, but this is how he fucking talks, right? Jake Paul, Nate Diaz is a great fighter, right? I love Nate Diaz. Watch him, right? I've got a fucking Tyson Fury. I've got a Tyson Fury's dad. I've got a no man alive. I've got brother, listen to me. And now I've got a fucking Eddie Hearn. Do you know what I mean?
My biggest takeaway from that is, how has he not gotten a cameo in a Guy Ritchie movie? He sounds so perfect for it.
Shut up, Harrington. Right? We're trying to talk about Nate Diaz and Jake Paul, right? Do you know what I mean? Fucking hell, mate. Relax. Stay on topic. Right, anyway, Turkish. I agree. I'm sorry, Nate, if you're listening to this. I agree. I mean, did we see that video of him hitting pads recently?
I did not see it, no.
Brian, just look that up if you can. Nate Diaz hitting pads recently. Put that in. I think it comes up. And look, listen, hitting pads is one thing. You know, and I think in that video, actually, Eddie Hearn goes on to talk about that. Hitting pads is one thing. Training is one thing. A fight is a different thing. Jake Paul, right? There's a reason that he picked this fight, yeah? Because, like, Diaz is a real fighter. He's a badass, right? He's a very, very accomplished fighter. We all know this, you know? But, look, there he is. It's a little on the sloppy side, but he's effective. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be the crispest. Timing and accuracy and stamina and cardio, will to win. There's way more things that go into winning a fight than just technique and form. But they are important. But Jake Paul's the bigger guy. He's the younger guy. And he hits harder. And I regret to say this, but I think Eddie Hearn's right. I don't think it will go for. I don't think it will either. I just don't. I don't know about going four. Diaz is hard to finish. He's got a hell of a chin. But there's a reason why there's weight classes. And he used to fight at 155.
Yeah, he also has 100 times the scar tissue that Jake Paul has, maybe like 90 times, like, you know what I mean? So honestly, all Jake has to do is land a few big shots. Like, boxing isn't like MMA. We've seen Nate Diaz fights called off in MMA because of cuts. You don't think they're going to have a much quicker trigger in boxing? I mean,
yeah, but hold on a minute. With the boxing gloves and no other weapons, yes, of course, cuts can happen with boxing gloves, and we see that in boxing all the time. But in MMA, with the smaller gloves, with the knees, with the elbows, there's definitely a higher chance of getting cuts. And you're talking about, yeah, Nick and Nate have both struggled with scar tissue. And obviously, the Masvidal fight for the BMF belt, that's the one that got called off because of those cuts. So it is a fair point what you say, but I don't think it'll be quite as much an issue in a boxing match. However, Jake's the bigger, more explosive guy, and that's why he's picked this fight. You know what I mean? And I hope I eat my words. Of course I do. But it's a very, very smart matchup. It's a very smart pick. And now over 10 rounds, if Jake Paul does his work, listen, I thought he looked very average against Tommy Fury. We've talked about this. You know what I mean? There's a reason why he's fighting Nate Diaz and not Tommy Fury again. Because he does it, he got exposed in that. Tommy Fury's a big dude. Tommy Fury's not one of the best boxers in the world either. But he is a boxer. And Nate Diaz is tough. He's a tough guy. But no one ever looked at Nate Diaz. Come on, let's be honest. And I'm not shitting on Nate Diaz. In a mixed martial arts cage, in a UFC octagon, on the street, whatever. He's not someone you want to trifle with. But you take away a lot of his skills, you know what I mean? And just rely on boxing only. He's got good power, right? He wobbled Leon Edwards in that fifth round. He wobbled Conor McGregor in the second round. That's how we got that win. So I'm not ripping on Nate Diaz, but he's never been, you never look and go, oh, he's got blinding, lightning, fast hands. Do you know what I mean? He can take a shot. He keeps going forward. He's tough as nails. And he's got great jiu-jitsu and grappling and mixed martial arts skills. I think Eddie Hearn is right here.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, like, you look at Nate Diaz's biggest wins, right? And it's, you know, he's got the decision against Michael Johnson, sure, but the Conor McGregor fight was a submission. His last fight against Tony was a submission. The Jim Miller fight, submission. Gomi,
yeah.
And it's like, you go through and it's like, oh yeah, like, that is without a doubt his best weapon. It's never been his knockout power. You know, I mean,
And it's a good point that you bring up there. Thank you, Harrington, because it is. I mean, the submissions and the jiu-jitsu, we've all always known about that. And to be fair, though, it's the hands that set them up. Fair. Okay. Or if he's taken down, the ability off his back. You know what I mean? Because he is very dangerous off his back as well, which isn't a thing in boxing. But you know, the hands, the knees, the clinch, everything, you know, you put it all together, he's a well-rounded threat. He's not a well-rounded threat in boxing. You know what I mean? And if you look at that bit of pad work, he looked a little sloppy and a little off balance. But who knows? Maybe it's just a crap clip. Andre Ward, he was talking about Nate Diaz recently, and he said, I did some sparring with him. He's way better than what you think. He's tough, and you think a lot of people are going to be surprised. Andre Ward, of course, is going to say that because they've been training together. You're not going to come out publicly and shit on the guy. I'm not saying he would shit on him. I'm not saying that Andre Ward is lying. I'm saying that Andre Ward would never say anything negative. You don't go out there and say, yeah, I was training with such and such. Ooh, wasn't too clever. Not going to go well. Well, I don't think it's going to go for Turkish. Yeah, see what I mean? He's not going to be saying that. You just don't. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I hope that I'm wrong. I hope that I'm wrong, but we're gonna see Jake Paul take out another UFC legend.
Yeah,
and that's what pisses me off.
I don't know, but maybe. I mean, if Nate's in the fight,
would you like to bet on it?
Oof, I mean, you're gonna give me
man to man.
Give me like 9-1.
Me and you, man to man, not a financial bet. A one chip challenge bet.
I gotta eat a whole chip.
No, because I'm not eating a whole chip. Half a chip. I will eat half a chip if Jake Paul loses.
Yeah, you know what? I'm Team Diaz, Nick Diaz Army, mother effer. Yeah, let's go. Yeah. Nate, okay. I got this. Let's go.
You took your time there. You know what I mean? For someone that's old Nate Diaz Army all day long, every day, baby. Joe Rogan podcast by day, train by night. You took your time to take the bet. You're full of shit. All right. Do you know who else is full of shit? Well, no, it's just a terrible segue. He's not full of shit. Alistair Overeem isn't full of shit, but he's clearly been full of juice throughout his entire career. We all know that. Overeem, Uberim, horse meat, the demolition man, whatever you want to call him. He's looking a bit more svelte these days. You know, give us that picture again, please, Brian. Oh, no, he's still in great shape. He's still in great shape.
I mean, his arms are still bigger than my head.
Yeah. He looks like a 170-pounder with the biggest arms on earth.
Can we just go to, when he weighed in against Brock Lesnar, try and find that picture, Brian, and when he was competing in K1, because Overeem used to be gigantic. And I mean, insanely gigantic. Of course, he continued fighting throughout the USADA era, and he had a lot of success as well, you know. And he's very skillful, Alistair Overeem, but you know, he's clearly now, I don't know. I mean, hey, whatever. He's come off. I mean, look at that. Jeez Louise. That's a big old boy right there. Jeez. That's a big old boy. He doesn't look like that now. People get older, they lose muscle, but I mean, listen, odds on, he's probably not taking the gear anymore, you know, because I think when he came out of the UFC, he put a lot of size back on, right? If I'm not mistaken.
I think you might be correct about that.
Yeah. I like Alistair Overeem. He's a good dude, though. He's a very, very interesting. What a career. Alistair Overeem, I mean, he was a K1 champ. He never became the UFC champ, though, did he?
No, he fought for it against Stipe once. Yeah, that was it. He never won it in Strikeforce either.
So, Alistair Overeem, he talked like this. And Rashad Evans likes to do. I mean, that sounds, I don't know who that sounds like. It's a terrible impression. But if you look at his record, I mean, it's crazy because he's so accomplished in kickboxing. But in mixed martial arts alone, 47 wins, 19 losses. And how old is the guy? Let's just have a quick look.
43.
43 years old from London, England. I mean, last time I lost to Volkov, beat Walt Harris, lost to Rosenstruik with that lip. You know, but when you go back in the day, when he was fighting in Pride, he was submitting people. I mean, he's known for his hands, but 17 subs, 25 knockouts. That man's had a legendary career. Simple as that. It's just unreal what he accomplished.
I misspoke there. He won the inaugural Strikeforce Heavyweight Championship and defended it quite a few times.
Yeah. Other guys from that generation as well, Fabrizio Verdum, Junior Dos Santos, they're fighting soon, but this time in bare knuckle on Jorge Masvidal's promotion.
Bare knuckle MMA, which is...
Oh, it's bare knuckle
absurd
MMA.
Absurd to watch. It's truly one... Yeah. Yeah, that Gamebred FC is his bare knuckle promotion is a bare knuckle MMA promotion, which is very wild to watch.
I tell you what, he must have some money. You know what I mean? He must have some investors with very deep pockets. I mean, Roy Jones Jr. was on the last one. He doesn't come cheap. Verdum and Junior Dos Santos, they won't come cheap. You know what I mean? They will have a pretty decent price tag, especially to fight in mixed martial arts. So, I mean, that's great. It's great for Masvidal. I mean, good for him. You know, I wish him all the success in the world. It's lovely to see people thriving outside the octagon after the fight careers. We never talked about this at the time, did we? But his father shot somebody at his house recently, didn't he?
Masvidal?
Yeah, did you not see that news story?
No.
Just Google it, Brian, see if you can find anything. Yeah, there was a shooting at Masvidal's house, and I believe it was Masvidal's father. I mean, I don't know too many more of the details, but I just remember seeing it at the time.
Yeah, I'm seeing the headline here. Jorge Masvidal's father arrested, charged with attempted murder in alleged shooting. Arrested in Miami. It was a Thursday in May.
Yeah. Anyway, we weren't there. We don't know the details. We just were talking about Masvidal. That just popped in my head. So, but yeah, Junior Dos Santos, Fabricio Werdum. You got a fancy Werdum losing in that one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Junior Dos Santos. Come on. Who's a better boxer, Werdum or Werdum?
Well, but it's not boxing.
Werdum or Werdum? Wow. CTE all day. No. Dos Santos or Werdum. All right, granted, it's not bare knuckle, is it? It's mixed martial arts in bare knuckle. All right, interesting. I'm not sure now.
JDS on a 5-fight losing streak, KO or TKO'd in all of those.
Yeah, yeah. All right, today's episode is sponsored by True Classic. This brand new sponsor has the best fitting shirts that a man can buy. Find the right t-shirt to show off your big old guns, or even if you've got a bit of a dad bod, okay? Finding a shirt that fits every man is difficult. Most t-shirts are way too tight in the wrong places, or they look too big and boxy, or they just feel crap, or they're low quality. If you're spending countless hours in the gym trying to look good, then why not spend 5 minutes trying to find a t-shirt that actually fits? And that is what True Classic offers. They've helped over 2 million men feel better at a very affordable price. Okay. Our listeners, they're going to get a great deal. 25% off. Okay. Great t-shirts, fit well, beautiful materials. Look, listen, girls, they've got push-up bras. Well, now guys have t-shirts from True Classics. We want to show off our best assets as well. Okay, fellas, you are wearing the wrong clothes. You need True Classic. These tees taper off towards the bottom. They fit tighter around the chest and the shoulders. So it is time to highlight your greatest attributes with a t-shirt you can always confidently throw on. Look, listen, accentuate those pristine, juicy muscles you worked so hard for, or cover up that little bit of a beer belly. You know what I mean? By the way, they're moisture wicking. They prevent BO. So when you get noticed, it'll be for the way you look, not for the way that you smell, unless you got some nice aftershave on. You won't be smelling like Harrington. They also have a dope pack builder on the website. We can custom bundle all of their essential products and save even more than the discount we are offering you today. And they've got all sizes out there, even going up to a triple XL. When you wear True Classic, you may even start lifting more reps because you look good, you feel good. The ladies love it. The dads eat it up, and the boys will thank you for it. So right now, learn how to dress yourself properly, upgrade your wardrobe with True Classic. Get 25% off at trueclassic.com with code BISPING. Free shipping included on purchases over $100. That is 25% off at trueclassic.com with the code BISPING. Strengthen your core wardrobe today with True Classic. It's actually a very good fight card this weekend. We've got Josh Emmett, Aliyah Taporia. What a fight. We'll talk about that. Macy Barber, Amanda Ribas. Great fight. Austin Lane, Justin Taffer, two big heavyweights. David Onama, Gabriel Santos. That's a good fight. Brendan Allen, Bruno Silva, Neil Magny versus Phil Rowe, Randy Brown, Rude Boy, and Wellington Turman. It was a decent fight card. And then some interesting ones on the undercard as well. Clayton Rodriguez, he's back in action. So, I mean,
Jamal Emmers,
great fight card. So that main event, Josh Emmett, Aliyah Taporia. Give me your initial thoughts, though, because I want to see the Wikipedia pages. Go ahead, go.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, there's shades of the, I think it was Giga versus Calvin Kattar, where, right, you know, this was a guy who was, you know, he was rising through the ranks, just destroying everybody put in front of him. And he kept asking for that next level test. And certainly Calvin Kattar was a bit too much too soon for Giga. Ilya is coming into this fight with the exact same mindset, right? Like, he is talking like this is a foregone conclusion. He says he is going to be better in every single facet of MMA than Josh Emmett, and he sees no real path for victory for him. Listen, from what I've seen from Ilya Taporia, I would have to agree, but he has certainly not fought the level of competition that Josh Emmett has, and he certainly never fought anybody at Josh Emmett's level so far in his UFC run.
Well, that's correct. And you do have to step up sometime. But listen, you know, last time I beat Bryce Mitchell was very, very, and look, listen, y'all might think that he had the flu, right? but we don't know that for sure. And of course, like, he might have had the flu, but sometimes y'all make that shit up, dog. You do, you come out with an excuse, you know, and maybe he was man enough. But regardless, if we look at the fight itself, Topuria smoked him from start to finish and then finished him in the second round. Before that, Jai Herbert, he got caught off Jai Herbert, though. He got caught big in the first round before finishing him again. You know, before that, Ryan Hall finished him. Round one, Damon Jackson and Yusuf Zalal. I'm very, very big on Aliyah Topuria. And I think that, and he's great everywhere. Great wrestling, great on the ground. And the hands, they're like bloody lightning. They really are. Josh Emmett, as we know, fair play to him, rebounding, coming back pretty quick after the unsuccessful undisputed featherweight championship bout in March in Sydney. Lost to Yair Rodriguez by a triangle. I mean, Emmett's fun to watch. He's fun to watch, man. He's got heavy, heavy hands. I think Topuria's probably got more ways to win, though. I do. And Josh Emmett's a good wrestler. He's strong. He's built like a bloody, built like an ox. And the heavy hands are absolutely ridiculous. I think Topuria's a little slicker on the feet. I think he's got more slick boxing, better footwork. I'm leaning towards Topuria. I like Josh Emmett. I like Topuria. I could be wrong, but if you wanted to ask me, I'd say put your money on Aliyah Topuria.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you just reminding me that the Yair fight was a submission. Like, that's the one area I might lean towards Emmett in this fight. But if he's getting caught in submissions by Yair Rodriguez, I don't think Aliyah Topuria is gonna have a much harder time with him on the ground. You know what I mean? Than Yair Rodriguez. So I would agree. Another thing Illy is dominating at, though, is the microphone. Did you see this? You see what he said about Paddy?
No. Is there a new clip? Because he's been like, calling out Paddy for a long time.
So he actually said the opposite. He's like, I'm not interested in him anymore. As a fighter, we all know he's not worth anything. I'm already leagues above where I'd be by beating Paddy Pimblett. He said he can't gain anything from that fight, so he's moved on.
I mean, he's not wrong, is he? He's not wrong. And that's not nothing negative towards Paddy. It's just clearly, if you look at the stats and the rankings, you know what I'm saying? He beat Bryce Mitchell, who was, I'm not sure what he was ranked. He was ranked very highly. Now he's fighting Josh Emmett. They just fought for an interim belt, you know, and now he's fighting, he's fighting Josh Emmett, who just fought for the belt. If he beats him, then he's right there. He's right there. And these guys aren't even in the same weight class, right? I don't know they are. No. He's 145. He's 145, yeah. So he's right. He's absolutely right. You know what I mean? And that's not no disrespect to Paddy. They're not even in the same weight class, right? And he's going to be, if he can get through Emmett, then it's a fresh test for Volkanovski. And I would love to see that. I'm not saying I'd love to see him win, but I would love to see Volkanovski. You know, I mean, who else is it going to be at 145? Volkanovski's going through all the big contenders. You know what I mean? If Aliyah Topuria can get through Josh Emmett, that'd be a fantastic fight. Who's Volkanovski fighting in the summer?
Yair.
Oh, of course he's, yeah. They're the guys that are fighting for the undisputed belt. But if he gets through Yair, he's got to be next.
But that's in like 2 weeks. So it lines up pretty perfectly for both men to get back into camp at around the same time. I mean, you look at the division, number two, Max Holloway, not happening. Number three, Brian Ortega, seen it. Number four, Arnold Allen, coming off a loss. Number six, Calvin Kattar, probably not there yet. And then you get further and further down. So, yeah, I mean, this is a big, big spot for Aliyah Topuria. And it's like, I don't know, like you can speak to this probably better than any human being on the planet. Like, what is that like going into a fight knowing, all right, this is it. All my dreams can come true if I win this one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it depends how you handle it. You know, I mean, you can go in there and think, right, I'm here for a reason. Yes. If I win this fight, there's massive consequences in a positive manner, but there's a reason why I'm here. But then some people might mess with them mentally. I don't think Aliyah's going to have any issues when it comes to that. I think he's here for a reason. The proof is in the pudding. He's undefeated. He's 4-0 in the UFC. He's finished all of his opponents. He's made short work. As I say, I favour him to win this fight. And it is perfect timing. The week after is International Fight Week. I'm happy to say that I'll be there in attendance. And if he wins this fight, he'll be in the crowd. He'll be talking shit. He'll be making his name known. He'll be staking his case. I don't even think he needs to. I think the UFC know. I think everybody knows. If he wins this fight, he's fighting Volkanovski or Yair Rodriguez, whoever wins that fight. But saying that, if Volk wins, if Volk loses, if there's anyone that deserves an immediate rematch, it's Volkanovski. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think he takes the immediate rematch or go back up to 155 and try for that belt
no,
again?
Oh, he's taking the immediate rematch. Okay. Come on, man. You want to get that belt back. Anyway, enough of that stuff. Enjoy the fights this weekend, everybody. If you have questions, please send them in to bympod@gmail.com.
And if you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure you subscribe to the show. Leave us a 5-star rating, positive review on those platforms. It really helps us out. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the channel and you hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new video drops. And if you want to catch over 400 episodes you can't find anywhere else, completely ad-free and totally uncensored, head to gasdigital.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get a 7-day free trial. Check out over 20 great shows on the network.
All right. So the first question we got here today is from... show regular at this point, Connor Cartwright.
Anyway, the question for you is, what do you think of Jordan Peterson? I think he's a great guy, me. Anyway, lads, have a good one. Cheers.
Yeah. Look, listen. No offense. I think he's great and all. I think Jordan Peterson's all right. I do, regardless of what you're doing with your glasses. But it can't be his podcast. We can't play.
You should see some of the questions I got in this week. We talked about really? It afterwards. Oh,
we
yeah.
can't let him come on every week. He's like, oh, buddy, I'm sending another question in. I'm becoming a regular. I'm on there. I'm on bloody YouTube every week. Do you know what I mean?
He's down the pub telling his boys, like, yeah, I got a show with Biffing.
Give us another question. I'll be on it next week, guaranteed. These losers have no questions from anyone. I send them the dumbest question. They put it on like, they do. Go on.
I filmed it on a flip phone.
Yeah. From the 90s. I mean, Jesus Christ, that ain't no iPhone I've ever heard of. Anyway, Jordan Peterson, I think he's great. I think he's fantastic. I actually haven't read all of it, but I was in Tenerife. I was reading his book, 12 Rules for Life. Some important messages in there for anyone to read and how to live your life and just live a better, more productive life. I don't see what all the controversy is surrounding him. You know what I mean? I think he's very factual in what he says. Go on, Harrington.
I think the controversy surrounding him is with a lot of these guys, they have like one great idea. Right? Like the clean your room thing is brilliant, right? Like the whole thing, his initial thing when he came on the scene was picture perfect. And then it became a thing where it's like, oh, let's have him on Rogan like once every 3 months. And you run out of things to talk about. So he dips into areas that he's not necessarily the most versed in. And he says some things that are a little outlandish and piss some people off. And it's like, dude, just stick to the thing you know.
No, go on, Brian. Give us your take.
I mean, he's been a clinical psychologist for like 40 years. I mean, yes. I'm sure he has more experience in more things than you'd like to think he does, Harrington.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Because I love these videos on the BBC. Just Google it, like the BBC interview, and people trying to take him down, and feminists trying to take him down, and trying to misquote him and all the rest of it. And they're fantastic because he just makes mincemeat out of them. He makes them look pathetic. He makes them look stupid. And he'll go, no, that's not what I said. What I said was this. And then they'll say, well, why do you say that? He said, because I'm a clinical psychologist. This isn't open for debate. These are facts of the matter done on thousands and thousands of hours of research and human studies. Okay. This is agreed data that I'm quoting. It's not an opinion. You know what I mean? And he just shuts them down so well. I think he's fucking great. I think he's great for humanity. I think he's great for young men. And he speaks a lot of fucking sense. And regarding this whole, you know, he's controversial because of the whole gender thing and all the rest of it. He's right in what he says. It is men that go off to war. It is men that die. It is men that commit suicide. I'm not saying there isn't bad things that happen to women. Of course there is. But men and women, we're very different people. We're very different creatures. And women are so much better at so many other things on the planet than we are, than what we'll ever be able to do. And that's the beauty of being a woman. And a man has his own strengths as well. You know what I mean? And we fucking just need to stick to them. Women are great. Men are great. You know what I mean? Men, stop trying to be fucking women. I'm not talking about genders. I'm talking about men's roles, women's roles. If you want to fucking put a dress on and call yourself Susan, be my guest. I couldn't care less. I couldn't care less. But a man should be a man and be able to be a man unashamedly. And a woman should be able to do a woman unashamedly. And I'm not talking about transgender issues or anything like that. I'm talking about traditional roles of a man and a woman, regardless of what you were assigned to at birth. But a man should be able to be a man, and a woman should be able to be a woman, and a man should be able to be proud of those roles, and a woman should be able to be proud of her roles, and there should be any fucking controversy surrounding that whatsoever.
Can't disagree with that.
Can't disagree with that. I'd like to see you try, Brian.
Not me. All right, so next question we got here is from Carl Bolton, and just a warning, he's a ginger.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he is.
Hi, lads. Carly, I send in a question from Chorley, little town near Clitheroe, Mikey, if you've heard of it.
I've got Charter Richard Services, let's go.
What was, and what is for you, Anthony, the most annoying fucking thing that stresses you out during your weight cut or during fight week? What's one thing that gets under your nerves? Because, you know, you see a lot of fighters say, oh, I can't be honest with all the fucking media. I'm cutting my weight. I'm miserable. I don't want to be near my opponent. I don't want to see him until we fucking fight, you know. What is the one thing that just fucking got on your nerves the most? Also, Mikey B, you're a fucking legend, mate. You fucking inspired me to get off my lazy ass, make something for myself, you know, train MMA, and look at this. Went and got my first fucking victory in my first fight. Came out to Song Blur 2. What a fucking banger. Anthony Smith, aww, you're a legend, mate. Can't wait to see you lift that title. Every time you fight, I'm on the edge of my seat. Harrington, congrats on the baby. You're going to be a fucking wicked dad. Brian, you're the man. Cheers, lads.
Oh, lovely. What a lovely question. What was his name again? Because I was too busy talking about Park Hall and Charlotte Richard Services.
Carl Bolton.
Thank you, Carl, for the kind words. Question, what is the most annoying thing about cutting weight? I tell you, I'm glad it's a good question. And this is all to other cornermen and other people out there. Don't do this. Yeah, all right, cutting the weight itself, it sucks. Okay, doing the media when you're cutting weight, that's not too bad because you haven't got to the hard part yet. You're just a little bit on edge because of the fight, because of the nerves. You know, the it's got nothing to do with the weight cut. That's because the fight's getting closer. You start getting on edge because of that. The annoying thing is when you're actually doing the weight cut, I don't know about everyone's cornerman, but my cornerman used to do this a lot. They tiptoe around on eggshells. Do you know what I mean? Just treat me normally. They whisper and they're like, oh, they don't eat in front of you. And they don't want to mention food. Do you know what I mean? And all right, granted, maybe I'm a grumpy old son of a bitch. Do you know what I mean? But I'm like, there's no need. Why are you all whispering? I was like, well, we're going to go out. I'm like, just be normal. The fact that you're making it not normal and you're all whispering is making me weird. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, what are you doing? And they're like, you know, I'm led down and, you know, like talking quietly and stuff. I'm like, guys, just be yourself. Like Jacko, we were in Australia somewhere and we were cutting weight. And I have no problem if people eat food in front of me. I want you to. In fact, I used to order Jacko's food. I used to order on the Friday night after I'd done the first half of my weight cut, I would order a big steak. I would order him an appetizer. I'd order him a dessert. I'd get him some drinks, and I'd lie there on my bed like a smackhead. But it, you know what I mean? Like withdrawing from heroin, going,
just watching him.
Just get a bit of that steak and dip it in the sauce. And then, yeah, get a bit of mashed potato. That's it. That's it. Yeah, I'm talking him through it step by step on how to eat it. And I'm like, right, dessert. What do you want? You got to get some dessert, Jacko. He's like, no, I'm fine. I'm like, Jacko, I'm living vicariously through you right now. You have to get dessert, you know. So that's one of the most annoying things about cutting weight. You know what I mean? When everyone's they're trying to help, bless them. They're trying to help, but it's just like, just be normal. Tell me to fuck off. Do you know what I mean? Stuff like that. But still, it's a tough life. Brian,
real quick on that. I just he said he came out to Blur Song 2 for his first MMA fight. Yeah. What is your feeling on that? With fight songs be retired for guys, like walkout songs be retired for guys? Because that to me is the closest you can get to like a jersey in MMA, like a jersey number in MMA, you know, like, yeah. Blur Song 2 will always be Michael Bisping. This guy comes out, becomes a triple champion in the UFC, and he's got Blur Song 2. Maybe he takes over that song.
Hey, and he's welcome to it. Welcome it. And I welcome the day when that happens. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is very touching to me. You know, it's an honor. It's an honor that someone, I mean, look, listen, it's a fantastic song as it is. Maybe it's got nothing to do with me. Do you know what I mean? Maybe they just like the song and they're like, well, I've never even heard of Bisping. Who's that? Do you know what I mean? But if somebody did choose that to honor my career and because they like the song, then that is truly humbling and a massive honor. And I wish you all the best with your career. Well done. Well done. You know, I went into Bolton Thai boxing last night to beat some of the Thai boxers in there. Some young lads, they got some fights coming up and whatnot. Yeah, went in there last night, gave them a bit of advice and stuff like that. So it was lovely to be back in that environment. But still, Brian, shout out to Sandy Hall, and shout out to Daz Morris, my boy.
So the last question we got here is from Noel Castro, and he wants to know about cross promotion fights.
Hey guys, Noel Castro here with a quick question about maybe some cross promotions. In regards to Jones and Ngannou, why can't maybe they have, say, Game Bread or Khabib's promotion get together with UFC? And I would imagine they all have great relationships with each other, or at least with the UFC, to make that fight happen. You know, I can see definitely Dana wanting to work with one of his former fighters and getting that big money fight, you know, or the fight that everyone wants to see, too. So anyways, just see what you guys thought about that, how they could make that happen, maybe.
And did he say Ngannou and Jones? Is that what he said?
Yeah, that's what he started with.
Yeah, well, Ngannou's with PFL.
Yeah, I don't know why he brought in Game Bread or.
Yeah, I know.
That made no sense.
Brother, thank you for the question. We talked about this. I don't know if you've watched the podcast, but that's been one of the biggest talking points of the last few months. We've been going back and forth on this for quite some time. So thank you for the question, but I'm not going to annoy everyone. Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go down the river. We've got a few more days left in England. It's a beautiful sunny day. It's the middle of the afternoon. The day's getting on. I'm going to go down. We're going to swim. We're going to lie in the sun. We're going to play some music. We're going to have some nice family time. Whatever you do, wherever you are in the world, I hope you're all well. Enjoy. Subscribe. Ring the bell, please. It really does help us out. Leave a comment in there as well because it helps the algorithm share our content to new listeners. Harrington, good job stepping in for Anthony Smith. He'll be back with us on Monday. But again, thanks for watching. Take care.